This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. That give good tidings to those who are patient. Those whom when disaster strikes them, they say, to Allah we belong and to Him we will return. These are the ones upon whom is the blessings of their Lord and His mercy. And it is those who are rightly guided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Rely upon patience and prayer. Sabr, patience, is one of the greatest characteristics a man can have. And it is considered a foundational characteristic. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about sabr in the Qur'an, patience in the Qur'an, more than 90 times. Isbir, wasbiru, wasabiru. More than any other characteristic, Allah talks about sabr, what we translate as patience. But we have an interesting relationship with the concept of sabr, of patience. That often when somebody tells you to have sabr, to have patience, we understand the meaning or interpret this understanding to be do nothing. Sit down. And don't act. And it's odd that we have this understanding of sabr as of patience, or sabr being this passive attribute. This thing that if we have it, we don't act upon it. We sit down. We don't take any action. And the reality is that when you look at the concept of sabr in the Quran and Sunnah, it is something that entails action. The person who is having sabr is the person acting. They are persevering. They are resilient. They are not giving up, which is the complete opposite of doing nothing. So when you're going through difficulty and somebody tells you have patience, do nothing, they haven't understood what Allah meant when He told us to have sabr. And the reality is everything Allah created acts according to sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how the sun rises and how it sets. It doesn't happen in the blink of an eye. It takes a process. It perseveres and endures a process for the sun to rise and for the sun to set. Do you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth in 6 days? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created it in the blink of an eye, or a time even less than that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the entire universe to go through different stages, to go through different processes, different degrees, different cycles, to show us what endurance actually is. And that this concept of patience does not only involve humans, but it applies to everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And we need sabr, patience in our lives. Patience from falling into sins and vices. The person who commits evil, who consumes intoxicants, who smokes, who does this or that, how do they prevent themselves from falling into these sins? That's sabr. A perseverance against slipping. And patience over disasters that occur to us. And patience upon worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being constant in our ibadah of Allah azza wa jal. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتُ. Be steadfast as Allah has ordered you to do. And this is why the scholars, when they talk about sabr, they call it كَمَال الدُّنْيَا وَالدِّينَ. They say it is the pinnacle or the perfection of someone's dunya, this life, and their deen, their religion. Because anything good achieved in the dunya, business, athletics, whatever it might be, the person had to persevere to achieve it. And anything good achieved in your deen, to worship Allah, to stay away from sins, to be devoted in your prayer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in your devotion to Him, requires perseverance and patience. And so today I want this talk, because I've spoken about sabr, of the concept of patience many times, I want to focus on something a little bit more applicable to our lives. How can we be resilient? And now the modern terminology that people use often, whether in schools, whether in business, is the concept of resilience. How do we become resilient people? Because when we talk about sabr, a huge component of it is resilience. And I was reading a number of books about the concept of resilience. Resilience in business and in sports and in this and in that. And I wanted to boil it down. What are the characteristics of resilient people? And I saw so much overlap between what, you know, experts and academics are talking about and between what our religion speaks about. So one major characteristic of resilient people is that they understand that suffering is a part of life. When hardships occur, they know that this is part of human existence, and they do not make it something personal to themselves. And this is something missing from so many people in today's day and age. We seem to think that we are entitled to a certain type of life. That I should have this type of job, and this type of family, and this type of car. We think that we are entitled to these things. And it's a type of narcissism. It's a type of arrogance. We think that we deserve these things. And if they're taken away from us, we feel anger, resentment, and a bunch of negative emotions that actually make our ability to be resilient, to cope with difficulty, much more difficult. And you notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when He speaks to our Prophet, and whatever difficulties in your life that you have, you cannot compare it to the difficulties our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived through. When you see what our Prophet lived through, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to him? What is the messaging in the Quran? وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Allah tells the Prophet, look at what Yusuf went through. Look at what Musa went through. Look at what Ayyub went through. Look at what all of these prophets went through. And then Allah tells the Prophet, all of these stories we've told you, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ, all the stories of the messengers we told you are for what reason? مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, what we did to make your heart firm. Because when you understand other people went through difficulty, and this difficulty is not personal to you, Allah is not doing it because He hates you, because you're bad, because of this, because of that. He's doing it because everybody gets tested. When you understand and you don't personalize it to yourself, then it's easier to cope with. When Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet, who was a slave and a blacksmith, and his owner ordered men to beat him up and to burn him, and his skin was burned and scalded, and he came to the Prophet ﷺ one day, and he said, أَلَا تَدْعُ اللَّهَ لَنَا أَلَا تَسْتَنْصِرْ لَنَا. He said, O Messenger of Allah, aren't you going to make dua for us? Aren't you going to ask Allah to give us victory? Like, well, how long are we going to be oppressed and tortured? Ask Allah to give us victory. What did the Prophet say? The Prophet ﷺ actually got upset with him. He's a man being tortured, oppressed, and the Prophet became upset with him. And he said to him, إِنَّ كَانَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ, people before you were tortured even worse. And the Prophet began to tell him and describe to him in graphic detail the torture that happened to people before Islam. The followers of Isa, the followers of other prophets, what happened to them? So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, suffering is not personal to you. It's happened to many people who follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and indeed this religion will prevail. And there will be so much success for this religion that a woman will be able to travel alone from Hadramaut to Sana'a, two cities in Yemen, fearing nothing other than the animals across the path. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ, but you are being hasty. And the Prophet ﷺ, going through this motion, he is teaching Khabbab what? That other people have been tortured as well. And that this is a part of life. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, Allah says, the days we give to people in turn. One day things are good, one day things are bad. This is life. And when you understand that it's not personal to you, it's not a personal attack against you, that Allah made some hardship in your life, this will allow you to overcome and to be more resilient and to persevere. The second point of resilient people, the characteristic of them, is that they are really strong at knowing where to place their attention. They focus on what is within their control, and they accept that there are things outside of their control. Because we can paralyze ourselves when we focus our attention on things that are outside of our control, outside of our ability. And this happens, you know, especially with COVID. When you think about all the things happening with COVID since this pandemic began, you can kill yourself thinking about the things outside of your control. And perhaps this is a lesson from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the lessons of COVID is to remind human beings, so many things are outside of your control. Don't feel so arrogant to think that you can control everything. And when you understand this, then you understand, okay, Allah gave me a scope of control over certain things. Let me focus on those things. Why should I focus on things outside of my control? That will destroy me mentally. This is why the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us, إِذَا قَامَتِ السَّاعَةِ, if the hour begins, if the day of judgment begins, and in one of your hands is a seedling, فَلْيَغْرِسْهَا, then let him plant it. Now imagine, the hour has begun. You see the mountains shaking, churning into dust in front of your eyes. You see the sky being torn apart. You see people running around in chaos. The Prophet says, if you see this happening, but you have a seed in your hand, plant the seed. Because Yawm al-Qiyamah is not in your control. What's in your control? The seed in your hand. Focus on what's within your control and do that good deed by planting that seed, and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do this, you'll find that your mental health will actually improve significantly. Focus on things within your control that Allah gave you control over. Don't focus on the things outside of your control. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Allah says, O you who believe, upon you is yourself. Take care of yourself, focus on yourself. عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Your responsibility is you. لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. It will not harm you that someone else has gone astray if you have been guided. So focus on your own area of control. The third characteristic they mention is to evaluate yourself constantly and to see whether you are helping yourself or whether you are hurting yourself. And this is a question that throughout this period of COVID, a lot of us must be thinking about and being stressed out. You might be stressed out about the pandemic, about getting sick, about your family members getting sick, stressed out about the economy, stressed out about your personal finances, stressed out about your children, about this, about that. All of us feel stressed out. Now the question is, are our actions helping us or hurting us? If every time I cough, I start thinking to myself, oh my God, do I have COVID? What does that mean? Where did I get it from? Am I going to be giving it to my family? And you go through this conversation in your mind, are you helping yourself or hurting yourself? When you litigate every cough that you have. When you watch TV in the news all the time, and they tell breaking news, bad thing, breaking news, bad thing, breaking news, bad thing, and you see this constantly, is this helping you or hurting you? Maybe you're somebody who can watch this and it doesn't affect you too much. But maybe most people, I think they watch this and it makes them nervous and it makes them stressed. Is it helping you or harming you? So do muhasabah for yourself. Umar ibn Khattab said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تَحَاسَبُوا. Take yourself to account before you are taken to account. Take yourself to account. What are you using your time with? What are you putting your energy in? These are things Allah will ask us. And if we're doing things that are harming ourselves, you're watching the news all the time and it's hurting you mentally, Allah's going to ask you about that. Right? So take yourself to account. Maybe say, okay, I'm going to check the news every 2 days. Instead of checking it every hour, I'm going to check it once a day. Right? Or I'm going to check it every 2 days or every 3 days. Ask yourself what you're doing, if it's helping you, if it's harming you, and make adjustments on that basis. We have to take account of how we decide to spend our time and our energy as much as possible. And it's important for us to understand this concept of sabr, of resilience, of perseverance. It's not something that you have or you don't have. Right? It's not something that either you're born with it or you're not born with it. It's a skill that we have to be conscious of, that if we act according to it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help us build this skill. We can increase our capacity to be resilient. We can increase our capacity to have patience. And we can lower it as well if we stop paying attention to the things that we do that sometimes might harm ourselves. And so some important lessons that we can take in our lives and exercises that we can do is to ask ourselves, you know, think back to a time when something difficult happened in your life. You lost your job, or you got really bad feedback at work, or you lost some money, or, you know, a fight with your wife or with your husband or something like this took place. How did you act during it? How did you act after? How did you feel? What steps did you take? Because we go through a cycle when bad things happen. Coping and thriving. Coping is when the difficulty happens, how do you deal with it? How do you understand it? And then thriving is how do you take that difficulty and turn it into positive action? And what's interesting, as I'm reading this, the scholars of Islam speak similarly. Because they talk about something, the different stages of sabr. They talk about how patience, when you don't have any control over it, something bad happens to you, is a lower level than patience upon worshipping Allah. Where you're patient and you're using your patience to do something positive in your actions. So for example, in the story of Prophet Yusuf, he was thrown in the well. He had to be patient, did he not? Of course. But that level of patience is less than his patience when he's thrown in prison. Why? Because there he had a choice. And he decided to do what was positive, which is to stay away from the fawahish, from the evil sins. Whereas when he was a kid thrown in the well, he didn't have a choice. He was thrown into the well. He had to cope with that situation. Later on, he's thriving with his situation. He's doing what is the best thing that he can do to protect himself from evil sins. And so you see this concept take place even in our own religion. And so let's talk a little bit about coping mechanisms. How can we cope in scenarios that are difficult? One thing that we can do is to identify tactics that work with ourselves, because every person is different, but certain things will work with certain people rather than others. And so one of the things that's often mentioned is meditation. And in our deen, we have salah, prayer. And the Prophet ﷺ would say to Bilal, Ya Bilal, arihna bis salah. O Bilal, make us feel comfort with our salah. So when a difficult thing happens, the Prophet ﷺ, faza'a ila salah. He turned immediately to prayer. So prayer was how he coped with difficulty. Right? Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah, should be part of how we cope with difficulty. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَى بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who believe in their hearts find contentment with the remembrance of Allah. Indeed, with the remembrance of Allah, hearts find contentment. And so this is part of our coping strategies, to turn to Allah, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They talk about meditation. This is our meditation, which is far greater, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to us. Also part of coping is to speak to other people, to talk to your brothers and sisters in Islam, to talk through some of the problems that you might be facing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, and in the Quran, many mentions about having good friends. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be patient with those who worship Allah in the morning and in the night. Have good friends. Have good companionship, where you can speak to people about your problems and your issues, and they can speak to you about theirs, and that can help you overcome some difficulties that we face. The second point is to understand, a coping mechanism, to understand that things are not permanent. When you are in the midst of a crisis in your life, a challenge in your life, you might feel like the future is bleak. You might feel it will always be this bad, it will always be this terrible. But you need to recognize and have belief that the negative state that you are in is not permanent. Rather, it is temporary. And the more the Muslim believes in the Akhirah, the more they will be able to cope with challenges and difficulties. When you believe, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ, everything on this world will end, including your hardship and your difficulty. That will increase your iman and increase your ability to cope with challenges. Allah subhanahu, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَالِي وَلِلْدُّنْيَا. What do I have to do with the dunya? فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَرَاكِبًا إِسْتَظَلَّ تَحْتَ شَجَرًا. He said, the dunya is just like a man who is riding, traveling, and they see a tree, so they take shade under the tree. Then they get up and they leave, and they continue their travel. He said, that's the dunya. The dunya is a small break that you take. It begins and ends very quickly. So the Prophet ﷺ says all of these things and so much more in our deen to remind us this dunya is faniya. It perishes, it goes away, and even the difficulties in them will go away as well. And so these are some important abilities and tips that we can use in order to cope with hardship and difficulty. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. As we spoke about some tips about how to cope with hardship, we said, you know, when hardship comes, we cope with it, and then inshallah, with Allah's help, we start to thrive with it. And so how can we move from coping to thriving? And what are some tips that we can do in order to get there? Number one, create learning opportunities for yourself. Look at the challenges you faced in the past, and determine for yourself, how can I improve? How can I become better in the future? What was my response when I faced hardship in the past? And how can I improve the way that I dealt with it in the past to become better? And what action can I take now that will help me in the future? So for instance, I had a real difficulty in personal problems with my friends. And we got into a big fight and things happened. So this is a crisis that happened in the past. Now I reflect about it. And I say, well, what can I do to make sure in the future it doesn't happen like this? So maybe I need to invest more in my friends. Maybe I need to choose better friends. Maybe I need to spend more time with them, right? So I'm analyzing my life in the past, learning from it, and creating opportunities. Why did this bad thing happen to me in the past? I lost so much money. Alhamdulillah, things are a bit better now. What can I do to make sure that, you know, my finances are better? Well, I can learn how to invest my money better. Also, I can decide to give more sadaqah today so that Allah will protect me from fitna in the future. So I can learn from my past to improve, inshallah, my future. The second point is to implement positive self-talk. And this is something very, very important. How do you speak to yourself? What conversations do you have in your own mind?